From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in 2007 in San Francisco, which became the first American city to ban plastic grocery and retail store bags. And that seemed to spark a wave of interest in cities across the country. Next up was San Jose, where, as The New Yorker recently reported, a similar law was responsible for an 89% reduction of plastic bag litter. Much of the credit goes to attorney Jenny Romer. Whether she wants to take it or not, she's become known as perhaps the leading expert on plastic bag law in the United States. Now, it's estimated that the U.S. throws out roughly 100 billion plastic bags annually, generating about 3.3 million tons of trash. Only about 1 to 2% of plastic bags are recycled. And Vox.com reports that plastic bags might take anywhere from 500 to 1,000 years to break down. So Jenny Romer took her fight to New York City, and you might have seen New York City just passed a new 5-cent fee on plastic bags a few days ago. So starting in October, stores there will be required to charge shoppers the fee. What's next? The Rochester Youth Climate Leaders have decided to focus on, well, some kind of approach to plastic bags. They're looking into the issue locally. And our conversation this hour focuses on the impact of bans, fees, and more. Let me welcome my guest for the hour. In studio, Terry Smith is here, head of the Harley School's Lower School, and she's been working with this youth climate leadership team since, I guess, a few months ago. Terry, still relatively new, yeah?
We started off in December, concurrent with the Paris climate talks, and we thought, wouldn't it be great to do something with students? And since then, we've met monthly and had a lot of momentum. It's been great.
Well, nice to have you here. And thanks. With that team here is Tierra Shirellen. She's a sixth grader at Genesee Community Charter School and a member of the Rochester Youth Climate Leaders Steering Committee. Tierra, welcome to you. Thanks for being here. Also here is Benny Smith, student in the Brighton School District and a member of the Rochester Youth Climate Leader Steering Committee as well. Benny, welcome to you as well.
Thanks.
And on the phone with us is Jenny Romer, attorney and sustainability consultant. And Jenny is probably in a very, very good mood given what happened in New York City. I assume, Jenny, how are you?
Yes, that's right. I'm very happy. I was working on the New York City bill for a long time, so I'm very happy that it's finally come to fruition and passed.
Okay, very good. Well, let's start with kind of take me back to how you became so sort of passionate and interested in this issue. Jenny, when did plastic bags hit your radar screen, and when did you actively start working on these issues?
Plastic bags are something that I've noticed for a long time, and I think the article mentions that I studied abroad in Barbados in college, and I noticed there that there were multiple colored plastic bags given out for pretty much any item you bought in the grocery store and then put in a larger one. And then those same bags I would see littering the beaches. And then in law school, I decided to write an article about San Francisco's original bag ban. And I ended up volunteering with Supervisor Mercurini's office at the time. So kind of got an inside scoop on how that came into being and became a point person in his office for cities that were calling from all over the country. And I thought it would be a relatively simple thing, but it turned out to be not quite so simple. And so I've been working on it ever since. I'm trying to help cities make sense of plastic industry lawsuits mostly, and helping cities develop ordinances that really work as far as changing consumer behavior and avoiding lawsuits or winning lawsuits by the plastics industry. And I think one thing I just want to clarify at the very beginning is that the San Francisco law originally in 2007 was a ban on all single-use plastic bags at supermarkets and large pharmacy chains. And I got involved because that wasn't working very well. People generally, I call them first-generation bans, just ban plastic, people tend to take whatever else is available for free. So we weren't seeing as much, really, that big difference in people bringing their own bags. So I helped rewrite that law. And in 2012, a law went into effect that also put a 10-cent minimum charge on paper and the thicker plastic that qualified as reusable. And that's what the kind of law that San Jose adopted, and that's the type of law that we've seen be very, very successful. But if we're just talking about a ban that doesn't address anything else, then that's generally not something I support based on my experiences all over the country.
Okay.
Sorry for that long-winded intro.
No, no, that's okay. I mean, it's good to sort of set the landscape because, Jenny, best I can tell, you've got the California ban, but then you've got what looks like dozens of municipalities, big and small, across the country that have kind of done their own things over the intervening decade. Is that right?
Right, and I've been in contact with most of them. I was kind of the weirdo that would call city planners out of my own just interest and make sure that they knew about certain studies or that they talked to other city planners that were in their same position. And now people come to me rather than me seeking out cities individually. But we see quite a few. I call the California-style ban on thin plastic and charge for everything else a second-generation plastic bag ban. And we've seen those in a lot of places in Colorado. One place that didn't do so well was Chicago, which adopted just a ban on single-use bags and not a charge on everything else, which I tried to talk them into going for a charge. And that's something that they're exploring, revising their law now. But New York went with a fee on all bags. And a lot of the reason for that was that there was a lot of feedback from people that live in high-rises and public housing high-rises that use the carry-out plastic bags as garbage liners, and they're small to fit in the high-rise garbage chutes. So that was a very unique New York thing where we didn't end up doing the ban on thin plastic bags. We just allow all the bags to still be used, but with that 5-cent fee, people are much more mindful of whether they need a bag or not, and bags suddenly have a value.
Talking to Jenny Romer, attorney and sustainability consultant, about the bag ban. You might have seen her story, and as Jenny will probably say, it's not her story, it's the story of the movement against plastic bags, but she was at the center of the story called The Bag Bill in The New Yorker last week, and that's what prompted me to reach out to her and find out more about this movement. And so, Jenny, what I want to do is I want to talk about how, in New York City, how this new fee is going to work, you know, sort of the what's true and what's not about it, and then we can talk a little bit about, you know, where you go next, and, you know, we've got these youth climate leaders here who are interested in this issue. They've just sort of started to study it, and there are questions about should Rochester do something, should local municipalities do something. So let's focus on New York City briefly here. This 5-cent fee, who has to pay the fee and how does it work?
So the fee applies to all retailers in New York City, with a couple of exemptions. There's an exemption for liquor stores and for restaurants. Liquor stores, because liquor stores are very regulated by the state and they aren't allowed to sell things that aren't specifically sold by liquor distributors. So they aren't even really allowed to sell gift bags. So left that alone. And then restaurants, most cities don't cover restaurants because they want to have some protection of the food and it tends to be a little bit messier. So that was left out as well. But every retailer in the city is covered. And there is an exemption for SNAP and WIC for food stamps. But I don't like to highlight that as much as, you know, when the low-income discussion is brought up, as far as there are some advocates which primarily are motivated by Novolux, the biggest plastic bag manufacturer in the world, provides speaking points, which this is the main one, that this type of law would disproportionately affect low-income people. So there is an exemption for food stamps, but I don't like to concentrate on that. This law has a lot of other things that to address potential impacts on low-income people, which the main one is that this law is intended not for people to go to a grocery store or to any kind of store and pay the 5-cent fee. It's meant as a deterrent to get single-use bags. And we've seen that across demographics, all across the country, that this works. That people hate the idea of paying 5 cents or paying something for a single-use bag that they don't really see a value in. So people overwhelmingly start bringing their own bags. So that's the first thing. And then second, New York City is required to do a lot of outreach and education before this law goes into effect, and especially concentrating on low-income communities and seniors.
So what you're hearing...
When you walk into a store, the dynamic will change with the cashier. So rather, instead, right now, cashiers are generally putting, if you buy, say, a candy bar, the cashier is putting that automatically in a plastic bag, maybe even double bagging it. But now that bag has a minimum value of 5 cents, and the cashier then is asking you, would you like to purchase a bag for that? Which is a completely different dynamic, and it really reduces the amount of bags being used.
Now, what you're hearing from Jenny Romer is an explanation of why the fee seems to make more sense from her perspective. And if you missed that earlier, some people may say, well, why not a ban? Jenny seems to be saying a couple of things. From the legal perspective, bans, you know, they may be vulnerable to legal challenges, but the real goal is affecting human behavior. And Jenny, what you're saying is there is evidence, and now a lot of evidence, cities across the country, that these fees do impact human behavior, right?
Right. We've seen it across the country. There's an interesting study out of Argentina that really looked at why this small amount matters. Because, you know, before Washington, D.C. went ahead with their 5 cent charge on all single-use bags, it wasn't, and San Francisco was citing a 17-cent fee, and Ireland has a 22-cent fee. So people didn't really think that a small amount like 5 cents would make much of a difference. But it turns out that it really does. And so we're getting more and more reports from cities where this has gone into effect. We're just a small amount, really. It just changes the way that people think about bags generally. It's just a pause at the register that makes people more mindful about whether they really need something. And if they do, then it's still available to them. And like I said, with a ban, and I am supportive of a ban on thin plastic bags and the charge and everything else. It just really depends on where you are, as long as that charge component is there somewhere. But with a ban, we've seen that, like in Chicago, that stores just switched to providing thicker plastic bags for free. And that's really not what we've spent so much time and energy working on, is just slightly increasing the milli-inch thickness of the bags that are being given away for free. We want to see a really drastic change.
All right, so what I want to work through then is some of the opposition, and you've heard it all, no doubt, Jenny Romer, but let me start with this. Newsday editorial gives a thumbs up, essentially, but here's what Newsday says. Quote, different laws in neighboring jurisdictions can be confusing, so the best solution is one statewide policy, a ban on retail store plastic bags enacted by the state legislature. Jenny, yes or no?
Well, I would say yes if we can take out the ban part of that statement. If the state would like to take this up, then that's great. But that's what happened in California, where about 137 different local municipalities in California all adopted their own laws. And then the retailers and a lot of other groups in California said, we'd prefer to have a blanket law so it's easier to comply with. And the state law was passed in California. Unfortunately, the plastics industry gathered enough signatures, 800,000 signatures, to get it on the ballot for November 2016. So that hasn't gone into effect yet. And so, speaking of things I might do next, I might have to go back to California. I haven't decided that yet. But one thing for New York, which I think we should definitely talk about, is there's a state law that was introduced a couple of weeks ago and that just made it past a Senate committee that would ban local fees. And so that state law is a preemption law, and it's specifically aimed at destroying New York City's bag fee. And so that's something definitely to keep an eye on. And if your listeners are interested, I can give more information about that.
My understanding is that was State Senator Felder, a Democrat from Brooklyn, who caucuses with Republicans introducing that bill. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so it's Senator Felder's bill that would bar any jurisdiction from charging a fee for bags. Jenny, do you suspect that has any chance of passing?
From what I've been told by people that know more about the New York State Legislature than I do, it's possible that it, or you know, relatively likely that it will pass the Senate, given the makeup of the Senate, but unlikely to pass the Assembly, and I would hope not be signed by the governor. But it's something where people should definitely reach out to their legislators, and we've seen this type, or not exactly this type of preemption legislation. This is very specifically aimed at the New York City bill. We've seen this type of legislation popping up all over the country, though, where plastics industry groups are kind of, I think, tired of fighting at the city or local level and are just going straight to the state legislature to try to block any kind of local legislation. So that was successful in Florida, in Arizona, in Wisconsin. And so part of what my colleagues and I, our coalition, does is reach out to constituents, reach out to legislators to let them know, you know, the intent of this type of law. Because a lot of the time, not the New York State one as currently written, but other ones tend to, like, look like plastic bag recycling laws and then have a little thin preemption language mixed in. But this one's pretty blatantly just trying to block New York
sure.
State.
Sure. Okay. So some of the other pushback is that when you have a ban or a fee on plastic bags, it does deter people from using plastic bags, and more people either bring their own bags or they use paper bags. And some of the pushback that I'm sure you've heard is that paper bags are heavier, they're harder to transport, they require more fossil fuels to transport because of their weight, and that they may require more fossil fuels to create just because of their size and weight, and therefore they may be not as green as we think. What do you think about that?
Well, the type of ordinance that puts the fee on paper really addresses that argument. That's something that has been the plastic industry's main lawsuit claim. Especially in California, there have been maybe almost a dozen lawsuits filed against cities. One of them went on for 3 years and went all the way to the Supreme Court of California. That was against Manhattan Beach. The Supreme Court found that Manhattan Beach, you know, didn't have to do a full environmental impact report. The lawsuits generally are saying, okay, city, if you want to do this, you have to complete a full environmental impact report that costs, you know, around the neighborhood of $100,000 for some of the larger cities. I see it as just an intimidation tactic. And that was mostly just for the original, ban on single-use plastic, not addressing thicker plastic or paper. Now that we put a fee on paper, those lawsuits have lost and I think are much less likely to continue. But we can talk about the new kind of lawsuit that's popped up if you'd like.
What is the new kind of lawsuit?
That might be a different question. Well, since we have this money, this 5-cent charge in New York City and 10 cents some other places, the new type of lawsuit has been that this is an unconstitutional tax. So we've seen that in Colorado and in California, plastics groups have sued cities saying this is an unconstitutional tax, this law is not valid. And that's why the money has stayed with the retailers. And in those cases, the cities have won. Because generally, states have the authority to tax, local municipalities do not unless they have specific permission from the state. And so that's why New York City can't decide to levy a bag tax. So this law sets a minimum fee for bags. It isn't a tax. And so some people object to the law saying, oh, I'd like money to go to a fund to provide reusable bags or clean up waterways, which I think would be great, but under the, constitutionally, we can't do that. The city can't do that. And we'd rather have the money be collected and see that by the retailer and see that huge change in consumer behavior than, not do anything at all.
I think they call it a tax or aggressive tax because they say it hurts poor people the most. It hurts people in poverty who, a nickel per plastic bag adds up. And if it's $12 a year, if it's $20 a year, if it's $50 a year, that can hurt somebody living in poverty, no?
I think that I've heard that argument a lot, but I think I find that a little offensive because that's saying that poor people or low-income people don't have the ability to change their behavior to start bringing their own bags. Because if you bring your own bags, you don't have to pay the fee. And there are still going to be, say, some free bags available. You know, this law doesn't apply to restaurants, and so there will still be free bags out there. But people will be much pay a lot more attention when those are available.
Here are two comments on Twitter from listeners on reusable bags or bring in your own bag. McHugh writes, reusable bags are filthy, germ-laden. We don't bag everything, i.e. milk, and we recycle the disposable bags at the door. And Laura writes, you have to be so careful with reusing bags. Cross-contamination can be lethal. What do you think, Jenny?
Well, I've heard that argument a lot, too. And all of the studies that have said this, I'd like to point out, have been paid for by the American Chemistry Council, which is the parent group of the plastic bag manufacturing groups. And so they have an interest in making people not feel comfortable bringing their own bags. And there have not been any independent studies that show this. And it's something where, you know, people just need to wash their reusable bags when they're dirty. And this type of law does not cover bags that you get that are specifically meant to separate food. So you still can get a free produce bag, any bag for your meat. So bags that come in direct contact with food are still free. We're just talking about the carryout bag.
Okay. And now our time's running short with Jenny. I want to grab a listener phone call. Don in Rochester has been waiting to weigh in. Go ahead, Don.
Hi. Listening to this, I'm wondering, Jenny sounds like a very intelligent, adept attorney. Why she isn't spending her time doing something that's more solidly rewarding, like, say, banning corporate personhood in America? Because this law, these series of laws that simply ban grocery bags seem like very insignificant to me. I mean, it's a fraction of the use of plastic. It's a fraction of the use of plastic bags. It's not going to stop people from using garbage bags, Ziploc bags. Certainly not going to stop restaurants from bagging things. And really, the point of the law is to change our behavior. When I hear things like this, it makes me realize that these are the kinds of actions on the part of the left wing that sends the right wing people into a tizzy. I'm by no means a right wing person, but I'm leaning towards the center on this because I find this very bordering on frivolous.
All right. So
I'm wondering what the point of the law is.
Don, two things
laws
here.
Are.
Don, two things. Laws are very routinely designed to make people's behavior change. That is nothing new. That's why there are seatbelt laws. That's why I could point to literally hundreds of laws that the entire purpose is to impact human behavior. So if that's offensive to you, this is not unique.
That law actually saves lives. It has, it has a valid foundation in reason.
Okay.
This law against plastic bags seems to be just the preference of the people passing the laws. They don't like plastic bags. But plastic bags, A, do take far less energy to produce than paper bags. I'm not affiliated with any chemistry company, with any grocery store chain. I don't have an interest in this.
Sure.
I see grocery bags all over the place every day of my life breaking down in the sun. They do biodegrade. I don't really see the harm. I'm really questioning the motivation of someone to spend their life trying to ban grocery bags. It seems it's just incredulous to me.
All right. So, Don, thanks for the phone call. And Jenny, Vox.com wrote a piece called Why Our Obsession with Plastic Bags Makes No Sense. They say that plastic bags are a problem environmentally for water life. They do end up, very few get recycled, it is true. But they are, as Don just said, a very small amount of the plastics that are produced, and that there are bigger fights to fight, that this is a small one. So that's what Vox says. That's essentially what Don is saying. What do you say to that, Jenny?
Yeah, I get a lot of people, including, some of my family members that make similar comments. But this is just something that I found that I ran across in my daily life, that I found that nobody was really an expert on the environmental side that had all of the arguments and the ordinances and the language and the lawsuits in one place. And so originally I was just making a website where all of those things could be found in one place. And it ended up being something where the plastics industry just spends so much time and money on where I felt that I could make a difference. Unlike, you know, there are other things that are more daunting that I don't already have a connection with. But I do agree there are other things that I would like to do. But I have a background in aquatic biology. I went on one of the trips to the Atlantic Gyre, and it's something where I see plastics in the ocean, plastics in our waterways, as a very big problem. And like your caller says, that plastics, he sees plastic bags degrade. That doesn't mean that they're, you know, completely going back to nature. That's plastic bags and other plastic items have a lot of additives that we don't know about in them. I was an attorney representing Center for Environmental Health for a couple of years, so I know quite a bit about plastics and about processes where additives are added to them. And you know, it's something where this might seem like a small drop in the bucket type of thing, but it's something that obviously gets a lot of attention. And I can see a difference if I go to a city where people are, you know, where an ordinance is in place and people are bringing reusable bags and there's less bag litter, less bags getting into the waterways. I would like to see a more dramatic change, but I'll take this for now.
Well, thanks for taking the time for this program today, Jenny. And if our listeners who are waiting to weigh in our second half hour, we're going to hear from Wegmans, and we're going to have a conversation with our studio panel about thoughts on this issue locally. But Jenny, where would you send people for more information if they want to know where are the laws now and what has happened?
Sure. They can check out my website, plasticbaglaws.org. I am going into a period of semi-retirement where I will not be updating it quite as often because, as you, I think, know, this is not my full-time job.
Yeah.
I have a separate job.
Yep.
And I've been making a big push for the New York City ordinance, but there are some updates on plasticbaglaws.org and I have links to other information. So thanks for having me.
Sure. I mean, it's like you're dropping the mic now after New York City, Jenny.
pretty much.
Thanks for taking the time. That's Jenny Romer, who is an attorney and a sustainability consultant and has been the driving force behind many of these debates and conversations about plastic bag laws. You may agree, you may disagree. We'll get to more of your phone calls in our second half hour and hear from our studio panel about what they think about what they just heard as well. Next on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, we're talking about addiction to heroin and painkillers. But more than just addiction, we're talking about insurance and why some families, some parents, are denied coverage for their children. And their children are addicted and their lives are in danger. Insurance companies say they are playing by the rules. New York State's Attorney General is stepping in today. We'll tell you what you need to know next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. If you're just joining us, in the first half hour, you heard from Jenny Romer, who is an attorney who is down in New York City now, but she has been in California, and she is considered the nation's leading expert on plastic bag law. She prefers fees, the exact kind that New York City just passed, a 5-cent fee on plastic bags, as opposed to bans, because she says a ban is more vulnerable to a legal challenge, especially by the plastics industry, whereas a fee has shown to really dramatically change behavior. Look at San Jose. After they passed one, 89% drop in usage, or 89% drop in plastic bag litter there, for example. So New York City just passed theirs. Question is, what may happen here? What should happen here? In studio, we've got Terry Smith, head of the Harley School's Lower School, along with Tiara Shirellin and Benny Smith. They're both students, and they are with the Rochester Youth Climate Leaders Steering Committee. Terry, I'll start with you. Again, this is an issue that is, no one locally has the exact plan. No one is saying, you know, Mayor Warren, City of Rochester do this, Town of Brighton do this. I mean, there's going to be a conversation. But what struck you about what you just heard about what may be sort of logical or viable here?
Well, I think that I appreciate what Jenny was saying in that it's something that she knows that she has a background in and that she can start taking action. I think you know, especially working with, you know, this group that has 6th through 12th graders in it, it's kind of disheartening to say to the generation, well, sorry, there's a lot of plastic bags out there, or there's a lot of stuff out there impacting the environment. Looks like there's too much, you know, don't do anything. I think, and I know that's not what Don the caller was saying, but I do think the idea of thinking big and starting small, it's better to do something than to sit back and not do anything. And I think that's what we want to have communicate to our youth, to, you know, the kids who are involved in this program, in this group, what can we do? And frankly, everybody has plastic bags. If you're talking about changing people's behavior, that's a really difficult thing to do. But where do you have an access point? You know what? Everybody go shopping. Everybody has plastic bags. So therefore, everybody has an entry point into the conversation. And that's really what we want to do, is raise awareness, see what we can do, take some action, help maybe change people's behaviors. And that's where I appreciate the students and their commitment, saying, yeah, this is something that I think is a hot topic. Let's see what we can do.
Let's learn about it. Tiara Shirellin's a sixth grader with the Rochester Youth Climate Leaders. And you wrote a letter on this issue, Tiara?
Not on this issue, but I did write a letter to Senator Felder about sustainability.
About sustainability. And what did you say in that letter?
Well, I invited him to our school for when we present our application for Green Ribbon School, and what we're doing at our school to, you know, be sustainable. And we wrote, like, what we want to accomplish in our school.
Okay. And we were just talking about plastic bag laws. As we said, no one has the perfect answer yet locally. Did you hear anything? Have you been thinking about what you think? You know, what questions do you have? What would you want to say about plastic bags, Tiara?
Well, I definitely think that charging the 5 cents for it is good, because at the cash register, they're going to bring it up, and you actually have to think about it before you say no plastic bag or yes, I want a plastic bag. So it's kind of, it makes you think about it, and I think more people will use reusable bags or no bags at all.
I think to Tiara's point there, that's another thing. We kind of have been talking about this as if it's in a vacuum, you know, that, well, plastic bags are a small part of the plastics we use. Therefore, going after plastic bags, not going to make a big impact. But to Tiara's point, if you go to the cash register and you have to make a decision, do you want a plastic bag? You may then think about all the other plastics you're using. I'm holding a plastic water bottle right now, which I'm going to make sure gets recycled, but most of this stuff doesn't. And so there may be more of a connection there. Maybe we shouldn't just think in a vacuum, and I think Tiara makes a really good point. Benny Smith is a student in the Brighton School District and a Rochester Youth Climate Leader. What did you think of what you heard on the discussion on plastic bags? Where is your mind on this issue, Benny?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of good ideas for what to do about plastic bags. As a group, we have to do some research and discuss before we decide which version we're going to support.
Absolutely. And so, you know, no one is saying right now, you got to have all the answers, but do you feel like you'd like to see some kind of movement in terms of what local municipalities are doing?
Yeah, I think whether it's a ban or a fee, we should be doing something for the problem.
Okay. Well, Terry Smith, for you, is there at least, do you wonder in your own mind, before we jump into legislation, is the business community down with this? Can we work with them? Will they say thumbs up, we are interested in the issue? You know, is should that be part of the discussion?
Well, I think so. You know, part of it is, what do we do? Do we go straight to city council? Do you have rallies? Do you, you know, gather the consumers who are going to stores and educate them? There's a lot. I'm incredibly hopeful, at least with this community. There's been a lot of momentum with, you know, the Solarize Rochester. There's been a lot of broadening of the conversation about environmental sustainability, climate change, all of that. And I think that, you know, I would be very hopeful that business leaders in the area would say, hey, you know what, this is important, as long as it's a win-win. I think if there's some way for businesses to gain public approval, to be able to offer bags to people who maybe not have them available. I mean, I think about people who go in lines at Starbucks and they say, hey, I want to pay it forward for the cup of coffee for the car behind me. can't somebody check out and say, I want to buy a reusable bag for that person over there, or some way, you know, it's the United Way, donate a dollar for this. We do that so commonly, I think, when we're approached to go support. And boy, if there was a way, if we could say, here, you know, buy five reusable bags for people in this neighborhood, people would chip into that. And I think the businesses maybe would have a lot of momentum and support from that.
Callers on the line, Tim, Will, Frank, a lot of great questions. Please stay there, because I think our next guest can help with some of your questions, and that's Jason Wadsworth, the sustainability manager at Wegmans, who is on the line. Jason, thanks for calling the program. How are you?
Great, Evan. Thanks for having me.
Okay, well, you know, Terry, I think, was making a good point there that we shouldn't just look at legislation for plastic bags without checking in with what the business community thinks about it. And I'm curious to know what Wegmans makes of plastic bag legislation in general.
So kind of our thoughts are there's unintended consequences that come from legislating anything. And we've seen some results of that at a couple different locations we operate, where in Massachusetts we operate with a ban at one store and our paper use has skyrocketed. Despite reusable bags being the best option, people have just gravitated towards paper. At another store we operate in Maryland, where we operate under a 5-cent fee, we've seen great reduction in plastic bag use, and I think the community rallied around it. I don't think there's a silver bullet here. What we've been focused on lately is plastic bag recycling. We think we have a great program in that the bag that we use today, our plastic bag, is made of 40% recycled content. All of that content is material that we collect in the front of our store from customers. So when you bring your bags back to Wegmans, we take those, we send them to our bag manufacturer, and they put them right back into new plastic bags. And so when we look at the national average rate for recycling, you're hovering around 11-12% for plastic bag recycling. At Wegmans, we have a 51% average recycle rate for plastic bags. So we think we're headed in the right direction there. We think that's a great option for people to do the right thing with their plastic bag. They don't have to feel guilty. We know that reusable bags is the best way to go. There's just a lot of convenience features about the reusable bags, fewer trips from your trunk to the house, easier to handle. We know that's the right way to go, but we also think you can use plastic responsibly.
Okay, so if your Wegmans customers in the future use plastic and they want to recycle them, they bring them back to you? Simple as that? How do they do it?
Absolutely. So in each one of our stores, we have two collection areas in the front as you walk in. You can bring a big bundle of bags. You can bring one at a time. Just I think all of this is habit building, whether you're using reusable bags or bringing back plastic bags. That part's on the customer as far as building that habit. But there's two great options there to reduce plastic bag use.
Okay. We've got a lot of listener questions queued up here with this, and I want to work through them. Will in Greece. Go ahead, Will. Hi, Will. Go ahead. If we can hear Will. I'm not hearing Will. Will, stay there. I'm going to put you back on hold because I know you got a question about Aldi's and Price Right, for example. So stay there if we could. Beth in Brighton, let's try this one. Go ahead, Beth.
Well, I applaud all the students. I had two children who went to Harley, so I'm glad to see what's happening there. But my question was directly to Wegmans. I bring all my plastic bags when I get them back into those bins, and my question was, what do they do with them? You know, and then there is an issue about the bags that we are supposed to use, and how people are very nervous about how dirty they are, how they get affected by the food they put in them. So those are two questions for Wegmans.
Okay, thank you, Beth.
Yep.
Jason Wadsworth, go ahead.
Yeah, so on the reusable bag cleanliness, our bags, they're pretty easy to wipe down. You can wipe them off with a disinfectant wipe pretty easily. So we recommend that, you know, definitely if you're putting produce items or meat items in there. On the plastic bag part, as I mentioned before, the bags that we collect from you, the customer, we take those and send them right back to our bag manufacturer. So they're all used in our plastic bags that are going off the front end. there's 40% recycled content in those bags, and that's all from you, the customer.
Will, who we couldn't get his call, but he wanted to make the point, Jason, I'm curious what you make of it. He called in to say, Aldi's and Price Right charge 5 cents per bag right now. Those stores are located in economically distressed areas, and you don't see bags floating around the streets there, which means that people are responding to that. So I'm curious to know what you make of that. Do you look at what Aldi's and Price Right are doing, for example?
I don't want to comment on their programs. I mean, that's a decision they had to make. We look at the store that we have in Maryland, which in the county that we're in operates under a 5 cent fee. There's no doubt that that has made a difference in plastic bag reduction in that community.
And Pablo writes an email to the program and says, it sounds like Wegman's argument is inconsistent for opposing this. I understand unintended consequences, but they are saying that in some communities, this fee impacts plastic bag usage, where in other communities, more people just end up using paper. What's wrong with that, and why don't they at least study why some people are using more paper in one community and not using paper in another? Jason?
Yeah, great point. So, you know, folks tend to gravitate towards the free option. And in that particular community where they banned plastic bags, they did not address the paper. A lot of communities have a fee on paper, even with a ban. I know in the New York City legislation that's proposed here, there's a fee on each. We think that's the right direction if you're going to do a fee. So if you don't address the paper issue, people tend to gravitate towards what the free option is, and paper happen to be the free option in that case. Paper has a much larger environmental footprint than plastic does. It's heavier. It takes more trucks to bring the same amount of bags than plastic. 7 more trucks to bring paper versus 1 truck to bring the same amount of bags.
Okay, so why not a fee on paper as well?
We would support that. Yeah.
Okay. Let me grab Tim in Rochester. This is Tim McGowan, who does a lot of work in climate issues locally. Hi, Tim. Go ahead.
Yeah, good. Thanks. First of all, I just want to celebrate the fact that both Sierra and Ben are doing what they are doing in the moment. I mean, how about the fact that a sixth grader and Ben, I can't recall what year you are in.
Benny, what year are you, sir?
Phenomenal.
I'm a freshman.
Freshman, okay.
Yeah, I just think it's phenomenal that each of you are doing what you're doing. It's deeply inspirational to us elder folk, you know, that you're about what you're doing. So I really celebrate you're doing the work here. Just a couple of quick things on the big picture of this whole issue. In response to an earlier call in terms of why is this issue important, the National Geographic study said that there is enough plastic around the world to line 5 plastic bags for every foot of coastline on the planet. So just get a visual of that in terms of the impact of this issue. The same study said by 2025 it's going to be 10 bags for every foot of coastline on the planet. The second piece is simply not just species and people's thoughts on this. The relationship of this to climate change. So there's something like 6 kilograms of CO2 content per 1 kilogram of plastic. So again, 6 kilograms of CO2 content per 1 kilogram of plastic. So I'm interested in people's thoughts on and callers' thoughts, as far as that goes, on putting a price on carbon as a fundamental kind of structural and economic market-based solution to the larger picture of fossil fuels and their impact in the economy and on the earth and on our health. So that's it.
Yeah, Tim, thanks for the phone call. And you know, if our callers missed Jason's point from Wegmans earlier, if we just push people from plastic to paper, it's not necessarily an environmental win, that there has to be a change in behavior to more reusable, bring in your own, et cetera. Jason, is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned, paper has a 90% higher carbon footprint.
Okay.
And so manufacturing and recycling.
And Tim is saying, you know, we should be aimed at reducing carbon footprints in everything we do there. And, you know, so this probably goes beyond Wegmans and plastic bags, but, you know, Terry, for you, you know, what do you make of Tim's comments on you know, whether it's a carbon fee or addressing something to impact our carbon usage?
Well, I think they're not mutually exclusive. I think we have to be doing things on all fronts. Part of what's great about the group that we have, anywhere from 25 to 40 kids from, you know, at least 10 different area, urban, suburban, rural schools, is that everybody has sort of aligned themselves with an approach, right? Benny's over there. He's doing policy and legislation and advocacy. Tierra's doing outreach and community education. We have people for activities and events and local projects and all of that. There's so much good work to be done, and there's so many hours in the day. And I think, yeah, Tim is exactly right. We should be going in to make a better world on all fronts, whether it's through legislation or whether it's through just going up to your sister-in-law and saying, hey, you know what, why are you using those light bulbs? You could do this, you know, providing, you know, word of mouth, just sort of changing your own behaviors. And I think that's interesting. What is great about this group is that they've all sort of wrestled with the idea of, okay, we're here, we're committed to climate change. What am I doing personally? What's my family done? Have we changed car types? Have we, do we bike to school, right? Do I only buy local? Things along those lines. I think you have to be doing it all, but
I understand that point very well. I mean, one of the reasons that Vox.com has been hard on plastic bag laws is their concern is that if you buy a Prius and bring your own bag to the grocery store, you may pat yourself on the back and say, good enough, doing my part, and it's not necessarily good enough. But I also think that sells the human race short, that, you know, that we're all just going to, you know, be self... Well, sometimes. Yeah, I don't know. That's a whole other hour. But Benny, on the point of a carbon fee, I mean, everyone's sort of got their own issues they've been locked into. Is that something that has been of interest to you? Did I read that right?
Yeah, I'm interested in a carbon fee. And I think the carbon fee would also contribute to reducing plastic bags, because if you increase the price of fossil fuels, plastic bags are made of fossil fuels, so it's harder to... they'd be more expensive to stores. And if you put a price on the plastic bags at the store, that would decrease demand for the plastic bags, which would decrease demand for fossil fuels.
See, these things are all connected there. And Tim, I appreciate the point there. Matt sends a note on Twitter to the show. For Wegman says, my biggest frustration is the use of plastic bags by cashiers. Please train the cashiers to use fewer. Jason, go ahead, take that one.
Constant battle, but, you know, at the end, it's up to the customer. If the customer requests, you know, they want this item in one bag, you know, we comply with the customer. Our average items per bag are in the 3 to 4 range. We can do better. There's no doubt about it. Training is key. I think education and training overall is part of the solution here. If we were to educate folks, and I've got a great stat that we kind of put out in our Earth Month stuff, it says that if every customer at Wegmans brought one reusable shopping bag on their shopping trip, Wegmans would reduce the use of 330 million plastic bags a year. That is almost our entire use of plastic bags. So it just... education, I think, is really key. If people understood their impact, I think we could make a lot of change. And the plastic bag recycling piece is our attempt to just meet people where they are today.
Frank, if you can do this in about 20 seconds, we're running out of time. Go ahead, sir.
This is for Frank?
Yeah, go ahead, Frank.
Okay, in Michigan State, the Senate is poised to pass a bill prohibiting communities from enacting bans on plastic bags used by retailers. I think a bill like this will limit our ability to protect our environmental resources. I formed the Zero Waste Committee for Rochester and the Sierra Club, and we talked a lot about plastic bags. And plastic bag issue is very, very important, especially because they're so prolific. Animals think they're food. They break down into our environment. They do have a colossal effect. I don't think it's a frivolous issue. And it is a way that people can do something in their lives that will make a dramatic change.
Well, Frank, thanks for the phone call. And 2 points on that to help wrap it up. Linda writes an email to the program, exactly what Frank was saying, but even more detailed. She says, important for people to understand, plastic does not biodegrade or return to nature. Rather, they photodegrade, which means they simply break down into smaller and smaller pieces. It doesn't go away. The gyres in the ocean are full of a floating soup of plastic. The pieces are mistaken for food in the ocean by birds and fish. Dead birds in the Pacific are found with plastic pieces in their stomach. So Linda's saying, you know, that's something to keep in mind when we talk about plastic bags. But I hope what we've done is cover some of the unintended consequences, open your eyes to these issues. And I want to thank Wegmans for participating, as always. Jason, thank you for calling the program and sharing your thoughts and from the company as well. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And great to have a couple of representatives of the Rochester Youth Climate Leader Steering Committee, Tierra Shirellen. Great to meet you. Thank you for being here, Tierra.
Thank you for having me.
And Benny Smith, good luck to you.
Thanks.
I know 25 to 40 students involved and probably a group that's going to grow. Terry Smith, I know you're proud of the work they're doing, and we'll talk with you and them, I know, in future days as well. Thank you for being here.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
So we're just kind of getting started, and every phone line was filled all hour, so you can't tell me people aren't engaged on plastic bags. More connections straight ahead. Stay with us. We'll